This episode of Guitar Radio Show is brought to you in part by
BMF Effects, BMFFX.com, built by hand in Southern California. BMF Effects captures the tones in your record collection and brings them to life. Overdrive, fuzz, wah, boosts, chorus, compressor, and vibe pedals with a purpose. Purchase online at BMFFX.com or BMF Effects official shop on Reverb. Enhance your tone and playing experience today with BMF Effects, BMFFX.com. Great tone made simple.
And also by
Hey everybody, Mark Davin from Guitar Radio Show. I rarely endorse a product, and let alone on my own show, but I have to share an experience that I had with Geppetto Pickups at GeppettoGuitars.com. When I first heard about them, I called them up and I explained what I was looking for and what I was trying to achieve sonically, and I immediately realized that they understood what I needed and they explained how they could get me there. When does that happen in the digital age? Talking to someone about what you want, having an incredible customer service experience, and then getting the pickups and them sounding like I imagined and hoped for. The quality of Mike's workmanship can be heard in every note I play. The thing that really knocks me out is when other players say to me, "Hey, what's up with that killer tone?" I say, go to GeppettoGuitars.com. I highly recommend them. Like the owner Mike O'Donohue says, we'll give your guitar its voice, but you'll make it sing. GeppettoGuitars.com.
Welcome to Guitar Radio Show.
All right, folks, welcome back to Guitar Radio Show. Today, we're going to have some fun, and we're going to talk about obsessions. And to join us is a friend of the show, a guitar collector whose collection I continue to learn about. It's like an onion. It's like peeling an onion. I'm always finding something like, you have that. And he's quite the aficionado on all things guitar, and he's also pedals, guitars, amps in particular. He knows so much more about amps than I could ever dream to know, and he's here to join us with this conversation for the pedals episode. Please welcome to Guitar Radio Show, Mr. Rob Wingler. How are you, sir?
Great. Thank you for having me, Mark. It's an honor. I'm so excited to be here.
Cool. I'm glad. I know you're a listener, so this is fun for me to have you. So it's good you always give me a critique of the show. Now you can critique your own episode.
I'll be extra hard on this episode.
Okay, cool. So, like we said, this is the pedals episode, and often enough, when Rob and I are talking, either texting back and forth or having a phone conversation, often enough, our conversation will move towards pedals because it's something that we both really enjoy. And it's really interesting, and I'm curious to know, what's your process and through that, the obsession of it all for you. So, like, how do you get turned onto a pedal, and how does it end up in your house? Because I have a method, or a madness.
Well, as of recently, you know, the last few years, the way I get turned onto it is scrolling endlessly through reverb. And then going, what's that?
Those bastards.
Let me check out a demo. Oh, I don't have that. I need that. So, you know, basically that, the hunt, and right. then and locating it, and then finding out as much as I can about it. And then the other process is also just seeing other people on forums and stuff, what they're using and then talking about. And
right.
It piques my interest.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's kind of the same thing for me. It's either one way or the other. So sometimes it'll start at YouTube, and then I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Let me go see if that's on Reverb. Or sometimes it'll start on Reverb, and I'm a big fan. I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of the just listed section on
yes.
Reverb.
I love that section.
I'll just click on that and just go, oh, what's this? And often enough, it's, you know, from a company that I may not know about, because there are so many pedal companies. It's absurd.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's the golden age of pedal yeah. companies. Everybody builds a pedal.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day. Who the heck was I talking to? I was talking to an artist the other day. I can't remember who it is now. And he's saying, oh, no. I was speaking to Mike O'Donohue from Geppetto Pickups.
Okay.
And he was saying, he's like, yeah, he goes, I'm not a pedal guy. He says, but everybody with a soldering iron is. And I'm like, yeah, he's not wrong.
Right, exactly. I mean, when I was a kid taking electronics in high school, I trained to building pedals. And, you know, I have a boost pedal that I built, and I have a fuzz pedal that never seemed to work quite right that I built, and I always said, oh, one day I'll build pedals. And then it's like everybody does it now. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I was like, I should put out the, you know, I should get into building mine.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, there's so many.
Yeah.
How are you gonna break through? And I'm yeah. like, you're right. I'll just stick to buying other people's pedals.
Well, it's like I was talking to Scott K from BMF Effects.
Right.
And he was saying that you know, he's got people that come to him, you know, fledgling pedal builders, people that want to learn and want to intern with him. They want to do apprenticeships with him. And
right.
and he says to, you know, when he talks to somebody and he says, you know, do you want to do this for a living? Are you sure you want to do this for a living? Or do you want this to be like a really great, cool hobby that you make a little extra dough on? And a lot of folks are coming back and saying, no, I want to do this for a living. And he thinks they're crazy because it's such a hard business, you know, because yeah. of the saturation level of it all, you know, it's crazy.
Right. I mean, back when I started playing in the really early 90s, there was basically Boss and MXR and Electro Harmonix, and that was what you got. And then the boutique boom happened, and now it's, you know, hey, I got a $200 clone of a Rat. Well, that's cool. I mean, a Rat's $59, but I guess the $200 one must be better.
That's so funny. Adam Hunt and I were just talked about that in the in the gear hype video. It's like, you know, there are people. I'll be on my favorite pedal, and this is a shout out to them, but my favorite pedal thread or board on Facebook is Pedal Boards of Doom.
Oh, I love that pedal.
I love yeah, that. I love that. Them. I love those guys. And I love everybody on there, even the crazy people, because often enough you go there and you go, hey, I've never tried this. What does everybody think? And everybody's got an opinion, of course. You know, you just ask anybody their
right.
opinion. But often enough, I'll find there somebody will go, so who can recommend a really good Rat clone?
Exactly.
I'm like, man,
it's
just
like,
what about a Rat? You know?
Oh man!
I found it even interesting that Brian Wampler, who, you know, I think he did a Rat clone, didn't he?
He just came out with one.
Right.
He's talking about it.
And he did,
I haven't tried it, but he
did a Nobles ODR clone, too.
Yeah, that recently came out, too.
Yeah. So, you know, and there's a lot of other rat clones out there, but I find it fascinating. And I think probably for guys like Brian, who's really a cool dude and makes mm-hmm. great pedals, I think for those guys, you know, and like Josh and Brian and Bob Keeley, people like that, I think when they make those often enough, I think it's because of their love for the circuit.
That, yeah, I agree. And I also think that it's their fans that pressure them with, hey, how come you don't make a rat?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's like, well, there's a rat, but if you want it, I guess I'll make it for you. But,
right.
You know,
right.
It's. I wonder how much of that is driven by the customer saying, you don't have a rat. I wish you made a rat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like know. it's like overdrives, too, right? It's the same thing. Robert Keeley was making that mod for the Blues Driver for years. And then finally
right.
decided to just come out with a pedal of it. And that's the Super Fat Mod.
Right.
Which is a killer pedal. So essentially,
oh, yeah.
it's a Blues Driver with the mod, and it's just in his box. You know, it's a great pedal. I mean, it is really, really good. And it's got a little bit of that extra secret sauce in there, you know. But yeah, getting back to the whole, you know, I'll start with that page of the newly listed stuff, and I'll see something, you know, and I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. I never saw that before. Let me go to YouTube and see if there's a video. And there usually is. And I'll get sucked in because it'll be a really good definition or, you know, explanation of that particular pedal. And then I'll go and see if I can make an offer or whatever. But
right.
so often, and I've said this to you before, so often I will do that, and then I'll get the thing finally in my clutches. And this just happened for me, and I'm holding it in my hands, Solid Gold Effects. It's a pedal. It's a Fuzz Face clone called If Six Was Nine. And,
right, I remember you telling me about it.
Yeah, and I was super excited. I was super excited because, you know, I've never really played a whole bunch of Fuzz Faces that I really dug. They were always a little glassy, and this
right.
one didn't sound too glassy. But as you know, I had just purchased a Boss FZ5 on a Lark.
Which you turned me on to.
Yeah, and I got it for like $80 or whatever it was. Cheap. And I really dug the Fuzz Face in there. I was like, it has a lot of body. It's not really glassy. I can really control it. So I was like, I heard this, If Six Was Nine. I was like, oh, that's cool. I get it. I A-B it with the FC5. The FC5 kills it. Destroys it.
That Fuzz Face setting on that FC5 is so good. Compared to even, I got, you know, Fuzz Faces, and it's so much, it's like all the good stuff of the Fuzz Face. It's
yeah.
so much smoother and just full bodied compared to like an actual Fuzz Face.
Yeah. Now, meanwhile, I know it's a digital pedal, right? It's not really an analog pedal, right?
Yeah.
It's a Cosm, right? Isn't that a Cosm pedal?
Yeah. Well, yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a Cosm. So it's a digital pedal. But, you know, and I know there's a lot of purists out there who like shit all over digital pedals, but, I have to say, you know, they got it right. And, you know, another thing, in my conversations with you, I had mentioned, you know, I haven't really played a lot of Boss pedals over the years. You know, the first Boss right. pedal I ever got was in the early 80s, and I had gotten a DM2. The analog delay, and it was so, I mean, it's an amazing pedal. I still have it. And you said, what about the DS1? I was like, I've never even tried one. And you were like, you just could not fathom that.
Yeah, right.
And then you gifted me one. And I got to tell you, man, it is a killer fucking pedal.
Right? It's so underrated, which is the basis for so many other distortion pedals. And if you know how to set it right, it's perfect. As long as you keep that tone at like 10 o'clock or below,
yeah.
It's a perfect, distortion.
Yeah. And that's exactly
and you
where
can't kill them.
You go ahead.
You know?
What'd you say?
I say you can't kill them. You could throw them off your roof and they'll still work.
They're like tanks. Yeah. And it's crazy for those of you who are Prince fans or just respect the guy, which he's amazing. He was amazing. That was his pedal board. It was all Boss.
Yeah, a lot of guys toured. Dave Navarro, all of his pedals were Boss. They still are.
Yeah.
Even Joe Walsh was a big Boss guy. I think the Boss gets a little bit of a bad rap lately, in the last few years, last 10 years, we'll say, because of all the boutique-y stuff that's based off of Boss stuff, and people just on the forums being, forum crazy people, bad mouthing them, like, oh, why would you want a Boss when you get this? And it's like, oh, because that is a Boss in another package, basically.
Yeah.
And, the Boss is killer stuff for touring. That's why people tour with them. They don't fail.
Yeah. Has there been a pedal for you that you've gotten that you heard or saw and didn't get to try first, and when you got it, you were like, oh, this was a nightmare. Why'd I do this?
Yes, the worst pedal I've ever bought. It was a TC Electronic, maybe you've heard of it, the Golden Cello.
No.
It was their take of Eric Johnson's tone in a box. So it had like a massive fuzz with a delay in one box. The demos sounded like Eric Johnson, whoever was demoing, maybe with Andy from Pro Guitar Shop at the time or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, this is Eric Johnson in a box. I got it. It was so horrible sounding, so unusable. And I'm like, well, this can't be the same. There's got to be something wrong with this pedal. Mm-hmm. So I took it back and got another one. It was like, no, this is just bad. For me, anyway, it was terrible. I was so disappointed.
That's funny. And that's how I felt about this If Six Was Nine pedal. I was so expecting something else, and based on the sounds, and it was like, oh, no, not good. And, it's happened with a couple other things. The full tone octave fuzz.
The octave fuzz?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one of those for a bit.
I had it for 4 days, and I was like, this is awful. And for other people make it work great. I hear other people play it and I go, wow, that sounds so good. But it just didn't work with it. It didn't play well with the other pedals. That's a big thing,
I had the same. I had it for a while because I got it and I didn't like it that much. I couldn't get it to work well with my setup. And I let it sit on the shelf for a while. And then I finally let it go because I'm like, I can't make this sound good. But, listening to other people, it's they make it sound great.
Yeah.
So I guess, everything depends on your setup, too, and what you're going through.
Yeah, true.
And how they interact with each other.
And your approach, too. I think that's a biggie, too, for sure.
It's a great underdog octave fuzz? Is, and it sounds silly, but that French Toast from Dan Electro.
Yes.
I love that, but I've had it 20 years. I love that for an octave fuzz.
Only problem, and I don't know, do you have this problem? Whenever I use it, and depending on where I have it in the chain, I'll get like a 10 dB drop.
We discussed that once. Yeah,
right, and I was going to send it out, and I still want to do this, because you turned me on to the TC Electronic Spark Boost. And what
that's great. I love that pedal.
It's a great pedal. And what I want to do is I want to rehouse the French Toast and put it in with a TC Electronic Sparks Boost. So
that would be a great setup.
Right? And this way you can dial in exactly how much boost you want when you kick in that pedal. But yeah, you're right. That French Toast is absolutely killer. Absolutely a killer, killer. The only thing that I've found that I was able to work with since I didn't do this 10, because I'm losing all that boost, was the MXR Siente Santos pedal.
That's the Billy Gibbons pedal,
That's the Elwood Francis Billy Gibbons pedal. So they conspired on that pedal. So basically what it was Billy was using in his pedal rig, he was using an old Octavia and patching that into a Boss 7-band EQ. So basically they just said, okay, let's make a pedal, take an Octavia and stick a 7-band EQ on it. And man, it definitely makes a big difference because you can, it widens the varieties of tones you can get, you know.
Right, you can tailor it to your rig.
Yeah, and you can bump the mids, you can bump the highs, whatever you want to do. It's killer. It's a killer octafuzz, especially for leads. Not fantastic for, you got to really back off your guitar's volume knob if you want to do any kind of real lower string chording. What's that song? I got to Get Paid off of the last studio album that ZZ Top did. That's that pedal.
Oh, all over that.
That
sounds good.
Yeah,
I haven't had the chance to actually play one of those yet.
Yeah,
I haven't encountered one in a while.
It's big. It's big and it's heavy, which is a bummer. But you know, but it's a killer pedal. So if you had to start all over, let's say you were a new guitar player, right, and you were like you were on a budget. What line or what brand would you gravitate towards now if you were to do it all over again?
Huh. On a beginner's budget?
Yeah.
I'd probably be looking at the Boss stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's affordable and readily available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's quality enough not to get busted, as opposed to like those Dan Electro pedals being in the plastic housings and stuff. They're a little fragile.
Right.
So,
or Behringer.
You know, for what do they sell them for now? $19 at Sweetwater or whatever they've been doing? For that, it's a good way to test, because all that stuff is basically a copy of, like a dead-on copy of
either
a Boss pedal.
It's all the same parts. It's literally the same parts, and they're coming from the same source, the parts.
Yes, Behringer builds all the parts for a lot of other people.
Yeah.
They got that whole campus where they just manufacture everything.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm getting
those
ready.
Those are a good way. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, those are a good way to explore. Like, I actually bought on when they were doing the sales or whatever, the Ultra Chorus.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like the CE3, like, dead on.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I was impressed. So those are good for the beginners as well. I mean, if you're going to be playing out a lot of shows and stuff, I don't know, they're being plastic housings too. Maybe
rehousing them.
But they're not bad.
No, I think they're great. Matter of fact, I'm doing a video, and I'll have it ready by the time that this episode airs. And if it is, it'll be in the show notes on guitarradioshow.com. But I'm doing a blindfold Pepsi taste challenge on the Behringer Vintage Delay and the Boss DM2. Because it is the same circuit.
Right.
And I'm going to see if I'm able to tell the difference between the two. I'm telling you, when I close my eyes and I have them set similarly, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah. I'm going to have to check that out when you do that.
Yeah.
I bought the Behringer. Everybody was going crazy for their fuzz, the FZ something, but whatever take, it's based off the Boss pedal, not the FZ5. And it's super fun. I'm guessing that the Boss must be very similar. I couldn't get it to sound right for me, but mm-hmm. If you love fuzz, I'm also, fuzz for me is a touchy thing. I'm particular about them because I'm not a big fuzz user. mm-hmm. per se. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if it's over the top, it's too much for me. This right. was over the top, but people love it. They write all over the place. Yeah. And what a great fuzz pedal.
It's so weird, because when I first started playing years ago, I was all about fuzz. And then I got away from fuzz, and it was more about overdrive. And then for a while, there were no pedals at all. When I was on the right. when I was on the road with Teaser, it was, you know, the only thing I was using was a wireless, and that went right into a Boogie, and there were no pedals at all. Shit, I didn't even use a tuner. I just would yell over to the other guitar player, "Give me an A."
Right. Well, that's the thing with me, was I was never a pedal guy. Maybe I had a wah-wah pedal, you know, right. the one I was playing, and that was it. I was the amp. I mean, you know, I had friends when we were growing up, and they had pedal boards then. It was like, I got my, right. you know, my Big Muff for this, and, you know, grunge was big when I was growing up, so there was, mm-hmm. you know, got my Big Muff for that, and I got the DOD grunge pedal for this, and I'm like, I want an amp that can just do, like, I just want to plug into the Marshall, and... You know, that's it.
Right.
Maybe a wah-wah in between.
Right.
And then, like, in the last, like, 15 or 20 years, it's been like, oh, well, you know, clean boost is always nice. I like clean boost. So started with that, and then progressively got, you know how this sickness goes. It progressively got worse.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I need this and that and the other thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. Yeah, I mean, I think if I was to start all over again now, based on what's out there now, I would either do the Boss, but I was even thinking even cheaper and really good is that GHS Series 3 that they did.
Oh yeah, I didn't play any of those in person yet, but those seem really nice. He builds really quality stuff.
I'm blown away that they were able to. I mean, each one was like less than 100, I think, or 100. Each,
yeah,
you know, and I got the reverb pedal, which once again it's digital, but I'm blown away by the versatility of that reverb pedal. I mean, it does everything from, you know, just a good old fashioned Fender style, you know, twin sound to these cathedral sounds. It's just astounding. So I think I would go with that. I think I would just, you know, line all those up and just use those. An overdrive, a fuzz, a delay, a reverb. I think they did a chorus too.
Yes, I believe they did.
Yeah.
I think they did a chorus and a delay, a fuzz, a distortion.
Yeah.
Basically everything.
Basically,
he,
yeah.
He did in a more affordable package.
Yeah.
That's a good thought, though, buying those pedals. They make such good stuff, JHS.
They really do. They really do.
And that guy knows everything about pedals.
Complete circuit geek.
Right? And yeah. He owns everything.
Yeah.
He said on this one thing, he has like 4,000 pedals. He's just got everything. I love watching his videos and learning like the history of like where this stuff came from.
Yeah. Well, that's how I learned about the Behringer stuff, that basically they're the ones that are sourcing a lot of those parts for a lot of other pedal makers around the world.
Right.
It's fascinating. It really is. What was I going to ask you? Oh, you've been on a wah kick lately.
Yes.
So
lots of wahs.
Walk us through that. What's going on with you? How many wahs do you have?
I have 12 at the moment.
Get the freak.
No, I got 12 wahs.
Okay.
And I want to get more.
That's crazy.
So they all do sound different, though. I've been buying a lot of the Crybaby signature wahs, and they definitely have, you know, their frequency bands that they focus on for each artist is like, you know, like I got the Zakk Wylde wah recently, and it does that thing, you know, when he does that going up the neck and not getting that choppy wah, but that big, like, you know, wah on each note.
Yeah,
it's got that big, like, strong wah. And then you compare that to my favorite is the EVH wah. It just seems to cover everything for me. But you compare it to that, and it's a much more.
Now, who makes that? Who makes the EVH wah?
Dunlop.
Dunlop does him. Yeah.
So, But and then I got the full tone that Clyde Deluxe recently, mm-hmm. too. And that sounds great. I mean, it's got three settings, so I like what they call the shaft setting, which is like a 70s right. sounding setting,
right.
which is a narrower bandwidth. Man, that's perfect for doing that funky, you know, scratchy wah stuff.
Uh-huh.
So
that's cool. But did you ever play the Satriani wah, the Big Bad wah?
I did. I don't have one. I'd love to get one.
I had one for a bunch of years, and I loved it. It was such a versatile wah. I mean, it did everything you could think of. Plus, I think it had a 10 dB boost in it as well.
Yes.
But it took up so much space on the board, and it was heavy as hell. And I was just like, I'm not up for this anymore. Because I don't use wah that much, you know?
Yeah.
And
they're hard to find now.
I sold it for more than what I paid for it, that's for sure.
Yeah, they go on the second market pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get next a I know it sounds lame, but just the bad horsey, I don't have one.
I had one for a little while, and it was I just couldn't make it. It only sounded like Steve I.
Right.
So
I had the
wouldn't
had
sound the like an old wah.
Yeah, I had the regular Morley that I've had since a teenager, and mm-hmm. I was like, I should get a bad horsey to have this. Just to add to that, I decided I'm going to be the guy that has a lot of wahs. Like when somebody says, "Oh, what's the Kirk Hammett wah sound like?" Yeah, at least I could give you a good representation because I have it compared to, you know, the Tom Morello wah right. versus. I have a 70s, you know, crybaby, you know, to be able to give a comparison to each one. So.
Didn't you just buy a wah from Tom Bukovac?
I did. That's where the full tone came from.
Oh, the full tone. Okay. That's where the full tone
came from. Okay. And it's a really early serial number, and it's signed by the guy from Full Tone, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, wow, I was surprised, you know. That it was such an old pedal that he wasn't using anymore. But I got that, and I got his sold me an RC booster for the exotic RC booster,
uh-huh.
which is a nice clean boost with a little bit of EQ control. But I still prefer the Spark Mini compared to it.
Yeah.
I don't think the Spark Mini's ever leaving my board.
Yeah, that's killer. I got the Earthquaker Devices Aqueduct from Bukovac.
Right? How'd you like it?
I hated it. So I actually
it's right up there with the sixes, nine pack.
Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, I already sold the Aqueduct.
Oh boy, wow. That was a quick turnaround.
I sold exactly what I paid for it, so it's not like I made a profit or anything on it. But exactly,
you got to experiment.
I got to rent it. Yeah, essentially.
Right.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's totally cool. It is a really interesting pedal in the sense that it's very. You could do a lot of things with it. It's just that it would take a lot of patience to make something really musical with it. So I was like, okay, the hell with this.
Yeah,
you know.
What is your take on, you know, basically amps in a box? You know, the pedals when they're like an amp in a box. Like we had those T drives, which I have a Trainwreck Liverpool
yeah.
reissue.
I enjoyed the T drive for a while, but
I got it, and I was like, nah, it sounds good in the demos. It didn't sound,
yeah.
you know, compared to the amp, does not sound,
yeah.
close enough to me.
Yeah, I enjoyed it for a while, and then I ended up selling it.
Yeah, you know, I picked up I had for a little bit the I had the Friedman, the BE OD, which is the amp in the box, and that was pretty close to the amp. I mean, it sounded pretty good, but it had a lot of gain. Like even when you turn down the trim pot inside to kill the gain, it was way more gain than you'd need.
Really?
And even the way I keep the amp set, I keep the amp set with the gain about halfway, and it was the pedal just had too much gain for me.
So it didn't really didn't let the chords breathe, you know?
It did, but it was very modern sounding, if that makes sense to you. It was too modern rock for me. I'm a little bit of an older school rock
person. It sounded like a recto.
Yeah, heavy like that.
Okay.
Not my thing.
Okay.
But as I was telling another friend the story, I bought the diesel preamp pedal, and he's like, you're the most heavy metal blues guy I've ever met. He's like, you buy all these shredder pedals and guitars, he's like, but you say that you're a blues cat. I'm like, I don't know. The diesel sounds really good, but it's another one with a lot of gain, but it's more fine-tunable to get a usable sound for me, anyway, out of it.
Yeah. What do you think this is all about? This whole lightning in a bottle thing that we're currently, you know, like I'm constantly chasing after ODs, and you know, and I'm always chasing it that high, and then when I get it, I find that what I already have is better.
Right.
What do you think? Why do we do this?
I think we're bored. I think we're bored, and watching the you know, demos and stuff makes you go, oh, wow, that guy sounded great. I could probably sound great too, even though you already sound great. So, and I think this past, you know, year has been amped up with the, you couldn't gig or anything. So it was like, what do you do? I'm going to buy gear.
That's true.
I recycled so much stuff, bought and sold so much stuff. I'm going to experiment with this. I had that, I wanted forever, the Music Man Steve Morse. I always loved the look of the guitar and this and that. And I got it. And I was like, this is no good. I had to send that off. And I'm like, send that off and take that money and get something else, because I'm just going to keep this carousel going.
What did you get in its place?
Oh, Mark, I'm not 100% sure at this point. Might have been one of the Zemaitis reissues I bought.
Oh, my God. Oh, you did get a Jazzmaster this year, right?
I did, yes. I got the J. Maskus, the right. Squire
right.
model. What a great guitar, though. I don't care that, you know, Squire stuff has become really excellent. Not like when I was a kid and you were like, ah, Squire. Now you're like, holy crap, it can hold its own against anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of amazing. You actually inspired me to go and pick up a Jazzmaster as well. I found one of those classic vibe ones. And but I did not like the I'm not crazy about those Squire necks. It just didn't do it for me, so I ended up putting a Fender Mexican neck on it instead.
But now it's perfect for you.
It's wonderful. What a great guitar. I just sent you a track actually with that song, with that guitar on there. And
I know.
Yeah, I love that guitar. It's got its own. Yeah, how the hell did you? Yeah, folks, listen to this. All right, listen to this, everybody. How the frig does he do this? So I sent him this track. You can actually hear this track. It's a surf guitar track, and it's on the Gear Hype video that I did, a Gear Hype podcast I did with Adam Hunt. And I sent Rob the track. I said, well, tell me what you think of this, da da da. He's like, wow, it's really cool. He's trying to identify all the instruments. And he says, hey, is that an Ovation acoustic guitar you playing there in the background, buried in the mix? I'm like, yeah. How the hell did you know it was an Ovation? How the hell do you know it's an Ovation acoustic guitar?
So many years of being around so much of this stuff and just trying everything. I can tell, you know, just their specific sounds. And it was in there, like, suddenly. And I'm like, that's an Ovation. I got to ask Mark if that's an Ovation.
That's crazy. Do you have do you own an Ovation?
Not anymore. I had one for a while.
What did you have?
Celebrities. Celebrity, you know, the one with the, was it Celebrity Deluxe that has the leaves on it?
Oh, yeah, the Adamus look to it.
Yeah, but it wasn't the Adamus.
Right.
It was just the regular standard. Right. I can never get along with the round back. It always slides on me. So it's just like, I like them, but I can't play them.
Yeah.
They just slide out from under me.
It's crazy. I've been playing Ovation since 78. That's crazy.
Wow.
When I think about it.
Your Hamers, you have all those that you've had, or you showed me pictures of your old Hamers and stuff. That, those... I love those.
Those are great.
You actually inspired me to get a couple Hamers.
Aren't they great?
Fantastic guitars.
Yeah, they really are. Just phenomenal stuff. Joel was quite the innovator at that time. He really was. And now what he's doing, Joel Danzig, go, folks, check out Danzig Guitars. The stuff he's doing now is just, it's playable art. It's just gorgeous, for sure. But let's get back to pedals. So let's go around the horn. I'm going to mention a maker. And tell me the standout pedal for that particular line that you feel is a standout pedal. Okay? And
okay.
We'll start easy. We'll start with Boss.
To me, I actually my favorite Boss pedal is the SD one, the Super Overdrive.
Mm.
So I would say that is, for me, the standout pedal.
Is that because it's more versatile than the OD?
Yeah, and to me anyway, it's like, it was their competition to the Tube Screamer.
Mm-hmm.
So, but not as, yeah, the Tube Screamer has that hump, that very pronounced mid hump. Not as pronounced as that. A little bit smoother sounding to me.
Right. Cool. For me, it was always the DM2. That delay was just always such a natural sounding delay from Boss. But lately, I've been playing that MO2, the overtone pedal.
Yeah, that's
and
cool
that
pedal.
Thing is absolutely insane. I'd never heard of it before. It was such an obscure pedal. I was like, oh, this is so cool. Matter of fact, on that surf track, that is on the melody, the guitar that's playing the melody is using the overtone pedal. Super cool. All right,
yeah,
next company. We haven't talked about this company yet at all, and we need to talk a little bit more about it, but Love Pedal.
I own a bunch of Love Pedals.
I know you
do.
And you're the one who got me. It's like fucking heroin. You got me hooked on Love Pedal.
Literally, before we started recording this show, the mailman delivered his a bone tender to me, which is the, a Tone Bender MK2, his take on it.
Right.
I like it. I got to say, I do like it.
Right.
So, his version of the Zen Drive, though, is the standout for me. That's his Zen Drive. His Kalamazoo is really good too, which is his late Klontake.
Right.
That's a good pedal.
Yeah.
And what got me started on that was his high power tweed pedal, which was supposed to sound like,
right.
a tweed
in a box.
Amp,
yeah.
Is what turned me on to him. And man, that does dead on. Like, you can get that Neil Young mm-hmm. raunch out of it, and mm-hmm. it stones like dirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I love that guy's pedals.
And that's what I started with. I started with a Champ pedal.
Right. How'd you like it?
I liked it. It was really good, and it was useful for a while. I used it on some sessions. It was good, and then I was like, I don't have any more use for this. So off it went, and then I moved over to the COT, Church of Tone.
Right.
And I still have that on my travel board, and that that's killer. I love that thing. It's so subtle, but yet at the same time, it's got such character. It's really, really good. And then the Super Sick Tone, I really like a lot. Yeah.
Did you have the pickle vibe?
I did have the, it was the little green one.
Yeah, how'd you like that?
You're
a vibe guy.
Yeah, I'm a huge vibe guy, and it didn't do as much as I wanted. It didn't vibe enough. So I ended up moving over to Voodoo Labs and got the, what is that one called? I don't even remember what it's called. Let's see here.
The Voodoo Vibe, right?
It's called the Micro Vibe.
Oh, Micro Vibe.
Yeah. But I'm getting ready to, off that. Off my pedal aboard, and I'm waiting for the BMF 915 vibe, which is I'm number 49 on the list of people to have
nice.
Made for that pedal. So I'm waiting for that. But I let the Super Sick Tone pedal go, and I'm thinking about possibly getting one back on the board again, because it was really very versatile. It was somewhere between an overdrive and a distortion pedal. So it's kind of cool. I like that a lot. Okay, Electro-Harmonics.
Oh, the Big Muff. Actually, really? I like the Ramstead version of it, but that is their pinnacle item for me.
Interesting. Was that the first Electro-Harmonics that you ever owned?
It was. I'm not a Ram's Head, though. I got mine in the early 90s, so it was a Russian, you know, it's a Russian one.
Right, one of the Sovtek ones.
Yes.
Yeah. The very first EHX pedal I ever played was, I was a bass player. It was like 1975, and my dad bought me a Dr. Q.
Oh, cool pedal.
Envelope follower pedal. And it was super cool because I was playing a lot of Kiss, I was playing a lot of Zeppelin, but I was also playing like Ohio Players and funk stuff, like, you know, and the Brothers Johnson and stuff like that at that time. So I was like, oh man, this is cool, what a cool. And then the next pedal after that was the Small Stone Phaser. I love the Small Stone Phaser.
Now, that was my second pedal, was a Small Stone Phaser, a Russian one, you know, the early 90s one. Mm-hmm. And I loved that. I actually ran it with my bass most of the time, because I'm a bass player as well. A lot of my gigs are playing bass. But that was like a staple on my bass board, which mm-hmm. was basically two pedals. But that and the bass balls, the envelope filter, yeah. Loved that pedal too.
Yeah, for sure. And then when they came out with the Memory Man, a friend of mine had one, and it was the 80s, and we were playing a lot of, we were in cover bands, so early 80s, we were doing some covers, and we were doing like The Police, early U2, and stuff like that, and the Memory Man was perfect for that period. You know, I think that was cool. What was cool too is at that time, you know, you'd hear records and it'd be like, okay, there's not a lot of secret here to the secret sauce. It's basically, you know, what was available to the big name acts was available to the people on the street.
Right.
You know, it wasn't
as much as they like to pretend that there was a secret. You know, back in the day, everybody. That's what's better about today. It seems like artists now don't mind telling you what they used, whereas back in the day it was a secret. You can't tell anybody what you used. Tell them something different so they don't sound like us.
Right,
now
absolutely.
People are eager to tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. And here's another company that we really didn't talk about yet, and they are amazing company. And once again, another pedal that's built like a brick shit house is the MXR pedals.
Always loved the Phase 90s, always been on my board.
Yeah, I mean, it's really their staple pedal, right? If you think about it.
Yeah, that's their pinnacle pedal for me.
Yeah.
So
I think everything they make is phenomenal. It's and, you know, once again, pedal on a budget. And back in the late 70s when Van Halen arrived, it was like, "Oh my god, what's that sound on Ain't Talking About Love, what's that sound on the guitar and on the solo? It's a Phase 90. It was a Script Phase 90, you know.
Yeah.
And then what's that on Atomic Punk? Oh my god, it's a flanger, right? Was it a flanger or was it a Phase 90?
That was Phase 90 on
it. Was a Phase 90. Okay, but what did he use a flanger on? Didn't he use that?
Ain't Talking About Love intro is a flanger.
Oh yeah, right.
Off that first record. That intro, that's
right.
Flanged.
Right. So it was like, There were no secrets during that point in time, you know. The track that you heard on the way in is a track that we put together for this episode. It's called Fuzz Patrol. And that is an MXR bass octave pedal with a lot of fuzz on it. And so that's what that is. So once again, MXR. But yeah, I think, honestly, I would have to say Phase 92 for MXR. That's like, wow.
Yeah, maybe a close second would be Distortion Plus, just because Randy Rhoads put that on the map.
Right.
For people, right. Which, I have one. You know, it is what it is.
Right. Ibanez.
Well, the Tube Screamer. That's
See, are you a tube screamer guy?
To a point. To a point. I seem to like it when other people do it, if that makes any sense. I like the Electro-Harmonix East River Drive, which I guess was a collaboration they did with Analog Man.
Right.
And I think that sounds better than a regular old tube screamer.
See, you turned me on to that. Was it East Side Drive? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, or East River.
East River Drive, yeah. And I went and I you turned me on and I was like, oh, that sounds pretty good. Let me go check it out. I got one for like $50 or whatever it was. And I got it and it was another one of those pedals. Like, oh no, get this out of here right now. Like, no way.
Well, you're not a tube screamer guy.
I'm not. I've owned so many of them over the years. Let me try another one. Let me try this one. Let me try the. And I've had old ones. I've had new ones. And every time I try, it's just somehow or another, it just doesn't work for me. And then I pick up the Nobles ODR one.
Yeah. And you turned me on to.
Which, like, oh my God. But they're different animals. They're completely different animals.
Oh yeah, the Nobles has a much broader spectrum.
Yeah,
I keep that on my board, and it loves like a semi broken up amp.
Yeah,
put that in front of it. Yeah. Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, especially with single coils.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, for sure.
The and then of course, I like using the Nobles with a stack it with the Boss Blues Driver.
Okay, it overdrives it pretty cool then, right?
It gives you this really, those lush, distorted tones, you know, so it ends up becoming more of a distortion box at that point then.
Right. Now you're running the Boss into the Nobles or the Nobles into the Boss?
Nobles into the Boss.
Nice.
Yeah. But, yeah. But for Ibanez, for me, the CS9... The Stereo
well,
Chorus 9.
Yeah, great chorus.
Yeah, I got one in 1984. It's still on my board. And the damn thing is so cool because you can actually get vibe sounds out of it. Like that, you know that vibe sound that Stevie Ray Vaughan gets on Cold Shot?
Yes.
You can get that with the CS9 or in the neighborhood anyway. Depending on how you use it. And you can get those really cool Pat Travers sounds like it's not a full-on chorus, it's really kind of backed off, snorting whiskey.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. You know what is another good Ibanez pedal? I like the Jet Phaser. I think they did, well, I have it. They did the Paul Gilbert version of it,
reissue,
and put his name on it.
Uh-huh.
What a good phaser.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got this button that makes it do crazy things. But short of the crazy siren button, what a nice, lush phaser that Ibanez made.
Yeah. That whole series of the nines, right? The TS-9, the CS-9, that whole period, I think it was like 84, 85 or something like that, maybe 83, 84. But that whole line was really good, and that was another one of those lines of built in that really that cast metal like a Boss,
right?
Like a Boss pedal. It couldn't kill those either. I mean, like I said, it's been on my board since 84. Everything's come and go, and that thing is like kind of waving goodbye to other pedals often enough.
Well, that's good. That means that you discovered early on the one that you liked. So you could have stopped the search there, but there would be no fun in that.
Well, you know, I've never owned another Chorus.
Oh, really? Oh,
no. Well, no.
Good.
Yeah, I never. And as much as I wanted to try out the CE2, the Boss CE2, which is supposed to be an amazing Chorus, I've never even tried one. Have you tried one?
A CE2? No, I have not tried the CE2. I've done the 3 and the 5.
Right.
I've played.
Because the CE2 now is going for like $300 or something like that.
Yeah, they're super desirable.
Yeah.
I can't wait till all this stuff hits clone pricing. That's when I want to sell all my stuff.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm getting ready for another big sale as well. I'm thinking about selling some Gibsons. I'm thinking about selling some stuff here. We'll see. Because I was looking at prices earlier today of some of the stuff I have, and I was like, oh, really? Well, that's gone up considerably.
I know. I was looking at prices of things that I sold years ago, and I'm like, crap, wish I had that now. Because not that I want the guitar, but I would like to triple the money that I sold it for.
Yeah. So what's in your sights right now as far as new acquisitions? Anything that you'd like to share?
Pedal-wise?
Yeah.
Or just in general?
No, pedal-wise.
I'm going to sound lame, but I'd like to get a Petrucci wah.
Okay. I haven't heard the Petrucci wah.
Neither have I. I mean, I heard demos, but I haven't tried one, but I'd like to have one.
Right.
So, I've been looking at those, and that's pretty much it. I've been eyeballing wahs. I'm way into wah right now.
That's interesting. That's funny how we do that, too. Like, I was on an OD kick for the longest time, then I was on a vibe kick, and then I've been on the fuzz kick for a bit. But, go ahead.
You're a vibe guy. Have you ever tried the Roto Vibe by Dunlop?
No, I have not.
Oh, you'd like that. I've had one since like 1990.
That's the one Zach Wilde uses, right?
He does, yes.
Yeah, and I like his vibe sound, especially the Pride and Glory sounds that he used to get.
Yeah, you'd like that. You should look into them if you can find one. Yeah. I've had, like I said, mine for 25 years, but I love that.
Did you know I met my wife at a Pride and Glory show?
Did you really? No, I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
At L'Amour in Brooklyn.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I went to the same high school as Zach Wilde. I grew up in the same town as Zach Wilde.
That's right.
So,
he's a Jersey guy. That's right.
Yep. And I graduated 10 years after him. But I went to school with his niece. So.
Yeah. I got to tell him once. I said, hey, man, I met my wife at your Pride and Glory show. And he was like, are you blaming me? What are you saying?
That was a good, you know, Pride and Glory. That was a great record.
Such a great record. Yeah.
Great period. Yeah. That stuff.
Yeah. The bass player was from, wasn't he from White Lion?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. I don't remember where the drummer was from. But they were great. I mean, you know, you'd go see that show and you'd get all that great stuff from that record, and then you'd get, he'd do some Skynyrd, and then he'd do some Sabbath. What a sick show. What a sick show. I saw him tour that record probably 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
That's a cool story.
Yeah. So what else?
What pedals are you looking for?
Oh, me? Pedals wise, I'm laying low right now because I'm getting ready to plunk down a lot of cash for the BMF 915 vibe. So
right
now I'm chilling out on stuff. I think I've after getting stung with the if 6 was 9 pedal, I'm okay having the FC5 on my board for quite a while. You know.
Yeah.
But let's see what's down here. This I've got this smaller board. How many boards do you have, by the way?
Two. One big one.
One small one. That's how I am too. But I have enough pedals right now to really go ahead and create something else that's weird. Like, I've got these other pedals that I was using, and now they're off the board, but I'll use them I'll just plug them when I'm doing something weird. Like, you turned me on to this Donner, which we didn't talk about this company. We need to talk about Donner, which is a digital pedal company out of wherever, China.
Yeah, budget-friendly.
Budget, really budget-friendly, but really well-built and cool ass sounds. You turned me on to the Harmonic Square pedal.
Yeah, and it's a great harmonizer.
It really is.
Right? I was impressed. I bought it on a whim. I said, I'll just try it out. And I was so impressed with it. Especially to get that, for me, I'm a huge Eddie Van Halen fan, so it gets that detuned chorus sound really well. At almost nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have that right now. It's not sitting on a board, but it's such a killer pedal. And you can even get some whammy pedal sounds out of it.
Yes.
You know, for whatever it was, $29, I think it was.
Something like that.
Something ridiculous. And
under 50.
Yeah, another mainstay on my board is a Donner pedal. Let me get the name of it. Hang on. It is the Echo Square.
Well, I hadn't tried that one.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I bought it because... Hang on, let me grab it here. I'm unplugging it. I bought it because of... Not because... I mean, it has digital analog tape mod. I don't even remember what that is. Sweep. I don't remember that. I don't know what this says. I can't read it. It's too small. But I bought it for the reverse echo on it.
And was it impressive, the reverse echo?
I'm so in love with this pedal. Once again, $29. Made in China. It's digital, yes. So for the digital people who don't like digital, sorry. But man, is it cool to have something so tiny, such a small footprint, and really get a really cool reverse delay sound. I love it. That's my favorite Donner pedal. And then right after that is the other one that you turned me on, that pitch square thing.
Yeah, they're good. They're good brands. I mean, as far as, you know, price, you know, aside, they sound really good.
Yeah.
So I got a couple of their stuff. I got the noise gate is an excellent noise gate.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, so.
And I had a couple of the Moore pedals for a while.
You turned me on to the Vibe.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I actually keep it on my board just because it's small enough to keep on the board, as opposed to, like, I got the Chord New Vibe, which is, like, full size.
Oh, is that the Jimmy Vibe?
Yeah, you're the one. You
okay, that's
it,
that's not Moore, that's Moen.
Oh, well, I thought it said Moore. I'm sorry.
Does it say Moore? Because there's the one that's Moer, and they make those really tiny. They're like the same size as the Donner pedals. And then there's...
Oh, you're right. You know what? Maybe it's Moen on it.
And then I think the Jimmy Vibe, yeah. And the Jimmy Vibe, I liked a lot. I thought it was pretty versatile, but I did notice a dB loss when you pump it, when you step on it. Did you notice that?
You know,
that?
I hit it. I do, but I keep it that... I generally keep the spark on, so it kind of made up for it.
Oh, okay. Once again, the spark, spark to the rescue.
Yeah, I drive the spark into basically everything else.
Right. All right. So yeah,
but just a little bit. I don't crank it. I keep the spark, you know, maybe at like 9 o'clock, like just a little.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more.
Right.
That's what I want out of things. Just a little more.
Right. Right. That was almost a Spinal Tap quote there.
So.
But yeah, what about DOD?
I love the preamp, the 250 preamp.
Yeah.
I used to play, my dad has an original one from when he was a kid that he got in, I don't know, like 1976. And I used to play that all the time. And the 250 preamp, I got the regular version, I got Yngwie's version, which I like. I actually like that the best, the Yngwie version.
Yeah.
And, I'm in love with their envelope filter. I got one of the their old envelope filters, the green box one.
Uh-huh.
What a good envelope filter.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Another good company and really well built.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame that I don't think they're producing anything anymore.
No. I think Josh did an episode on that, on DOD. I think he did.
Yes, I think you did.
Another good OD that I'd like to recommend out there to everybody is very transparent. Everybody uses that word. It's very transparent. And when I think of the word transparent, I think of the fact that when I hit a chord, I can hear every single note in the chord, even though it's being overdriven. What I don't like is too much saturation. I want there to be air. And hear the wood, you know, for all these terms. But is the Barber pedals, Barber Gain Changer. It's a really good pedal. Even more breathy than the Blues Driver.
Yeah, I've never played one. I remember when you had gotten it, you had said that to me, that it was a nice, you know, articulate overdrive.
Yeah, that's a great word for it. It's a much better word, articulate.
I love that. I hate the term when everybody's like, he's transparent. My overdrive's transparent. I'm like, I want to be transparent. I want it to be articulate. I want it to do something. And they're like, it makes your guitar sound like your guitar. I'm like, then why do I need it?
Right, yeah, it kind of is the wrong word for it.
Right. I like, it's articulate.
I like articulate. I'm going to use that from here on in. I'll do my very best.
Maybe we could change the vernacular of the culture.
I doubt it.
Well, we'd go to pedal boards in Doom.
And have them tear us a new asshole. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I will be posting this episode on there since we gave them such a shout out. Yeah, folks, if you are a Facebook Looney Tune and you love pedals as much as we do, check out Pedal Boards of Doom on Facebook. It's really a great place to go and get some information. I've made decisions as to whether or not to buy a pedal just from hearing what a lot of the folks have to say on there, because they're once again, there's that word, they're articulate.
So. In general, they're nice, though.
General, they are. Yes, absolutely.
In general, they're a good crowd.
Yeah, they are. And that's why I keep going back. I was on a board the other day. I won't mention it. You're on it. And I went there. And I was like, oh, my God. Everybody's so incredibly negative here. Every single post was negative. I won't mention the name of the board. And I was like, okay, let me hang out. Let me scroll. I was like, oh, man, I got to go. I'm feeling depressed. I got to get out of here. I left.
Sometimes it's people have nothing better to do than just argue about anything on the internet.
God, I was just like, okay. I popped in. I never even got to post anything. I popped in and I left. And there was actually, when I left, there was a questionnaire. Why are you leaving the group?
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. And it gave me choices. You know, why are you leaving the group? You know, just not for you. I said, it's just not for me. I said, that was it. I wasn't going to shit on anybody. So it wasn't
really. Well, you have to tell me off the air.
I will tell you. I will tell you off mic for sure. So you were talking, and this is not about pedals, but you were talking about an amp that you were lusting after. Did you get to try it out yet?
I have not, but I have a Facebook friend that has one. I was asking his opinion on it, and I have not got to try it, but it's getting so hard not to just order one. And if I like it, great, it'll stay, and if not, I'll just have to return it, even though it's such a hassle to return. Amps are so big and so hard to ship.
Yeah,
that it's a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
But did you watch any demos of that amp?
I didn't, no. You were going to send me some links. I don't think you did.
Oh, I'll have to send them because it does the thing that it's supposed to do in the demos anyway. See, unlike a pedal, if you watch the demo of the pedal and you get it, you know, you're like, I'll put it in reverb. An amp, I hate shipping amps.
Yeah, I've done that. I mean, and once again, during lockdown, I was obsessed with the Supro. One of the Supro amps, I can't remember which one it was now, and I got it here, and when I got it here, I was like, oh my God, this is not for me, but everybody else makes it sound so damn good. I was like, it's gotta go. So
that's what I'm worried about purchasing. We could say what it is, right?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
It's the Sir Ombre amp, which is his takeoff of like a 63 Brown Face.
Mm-hmm.
Which he says he thinks Billy Gibbons, that's what he used to record, you know, the Trace Ombre's album.
Mm-hmm.
And the demos, it sounds like that. And I'm like, oh, I need this. I totally don't need this, but I need this. Like, oh, but things are so hard to ship. I just like, I wish one would come up locally.
Yeah. Good luck with that. That's not going to happen.
I know.
Not locally, no. I bet you there isn't even one in Austin.
I can't find one in New Jersey.
Yeah, so there you go.
You might be right.
Yeah. Yeah. But you said Sweetwater has it, right?
Sweetwater has it. So it might be a Sweetwater purchase, and if it's not my thing, send it back to Sweetwater.
Yeah. Well, like you said, worst case scenario, you get it. If you like it, you keep it. You sell something else you have.
Yeah, that was the intention. Is before I sell something to buy it, maybe because I can't test it out.
Right.
Just buy it and then cover it with something else. You know.
How many amps do you have?
Sixteen.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna put you on the phone with my wife. I mean, in the beginning of this, you know, you every once in a while you whip out a piece of gear, and I'm like, where did that come from? And meanwhile, it's been in your collection for years.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah.
You have a great collection.
Thank you. Yeah, my wife has given up at this point. She's just like, okay, whatever. A package has arrived for you. I'm like, oh, thank you.
God bless
her. Just bring it in.
God bless her.
It took a lot. I think that she just got worn down after whatever, you know, a decade of stuff showing up. And she's just like, a package showed up for you.
Oh my God. I'm 27 years in, and there's she's not gotten used to it yet.
Well, I told her, I said, there could be worse things that I'm doing.
That's,
you know,
true.
Like, all this stuff can be sold if there was ever a problem.
That's
so
true.
You know.
True. And sold for more than what you paid for it, which is good. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
Generally.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you, man, this has been fun to do this with you. I'm glad we finally did it, because so often when you and I are having conversations, I go, well, that could have been a show. You know.
Oh, I thank you so much for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're going to do it again with something else at some point for sure.
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, folks, we want to hear from you. So if we didn't bring up a particular pedal company, and I'm sure we didn't, and there's somebody that you really love and a pedal that you really like, something that maybe we didn't mention or something we hadn't tried, we would love to hear from you. Go to guitarradioshow@gmail.com or go to guitarradioshow.com, and in the comments section, go ahead and where it says contact GRS, send us an email and let us know. And Rob and I will discuss it, and maybe we'll go and buy it, and maybe we'll do a video of it. That'd be fun. So
that would be great.
Yeah, please do that, folks. In the meantime, thanks for being on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anytime. Thank you for having me.
All right. Hold on 1 second, but we're going to sign off right here.
Show on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, GuitarRadioShow.com, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Find Guitar Radio Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And remember, if you like the artists you hear on Guitar Radio Show, don't just stream their music, buy it.